That being the last of the speakers, we will now declare the meeting formally open at 6:29 p.m. I just confirmed there was no further speakers that were registered to speak. Could I ask that we stand for the opening prayer? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. I'd also like to begin by acknowledging the Wangal people of the Eora Nation, who are the traditional custodians on the land on which we meet, and pay my respects to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to other First Nations people who may be present here this evening. I'll just remind councillors of their oath of affirmation of office under section 223A of the Local Government Act of 1993, and their obligations under council's code of conduct to disclose and appropriately manage conflicts of interest. For the record, this meeting is being recorded. It is audio recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of meeting minutes and promoting public transparency. The recordings are promptly made available for public review via the council website. I note we have an apology this evening from Councillor Hugo Robinson, so that's been moved by Councillor David Hull, that his apology be approved and accepted. It's been seconded by Councillor Esper. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Declarations of interest. Councillor Crichton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I disclose that, one, my former husband is a consultant to GrowCon, who have purchased a site in the Parramatta Road Concord Oval precinct near the Boyle North Metro Station. I understand that this site is intended for build-to-rent housing, and although it sits within the Boyle Council boundaries, there will be an access point to the metro across in Boyle LGA. Two, I work for the Secretary of the Health Services Union. The HSU is endorsing a proposal by Lendlease to provide key worker housing above the Burwood North Metro for healthcare workers. This site also sits within the Canada Bay Council boundaries, but will also have an access point to the metro, which will be situated in Burwood LGA. And three, the Health Services Union is also supporting initiatives by Housing Now and Third Eye to provide key worker housing, particularly for healthcare workers at sites across Sydney, and this could include Burwood. I state that there is no personal benefit to me, to Burwood Council, or to the Health Services Union with regards to my three disclosures tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Hull? I'll just get you to turn your mic off, please, Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I have a less than significant non-pecuniary interest in item 25/24. I note that St Paul's Anglican Church is one of the grant recipients. I'm, from time to time, a parishioner at St Paul's Anglican Church. I don't hold any position at the church. Therefore, I don't propose to take any further action in respect of that.
Thanks, Councillor Hull. Any other declarations? I'll declare a pecuniary interest in item 28/24, Build North Master Plan. The nature of my interest, I have family members who own a property at Britannia Avenue in Burwood, and I also have distant family who have lived and or own property in the study area. So I'll be consistent with removing myself on that item and not be involved in any decision-making situations. And the Deputy Mayor will take the chair. Any other declarations? Any declarations of political donations? I note no declarations of political donations. Confirmation of the minutes for Tuesday, 23rd April 2024. It's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Hull. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. I note there are no mayoral minutes this evening. Aren't you lucky? And we'll go into reports to council now. So the first item is 24/24, which is the post-exhibition planning proposal to group heritage list properties at numbers 23, 25 and 27 Woodside Avenue build. Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Esper. Speakers against? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. So that was a planning decision. So it was the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Esper, Councillor Kutcher, Councillor Hull and Councillor Crichton. We're now moved into item 28/24, which is the Build North Master Plan post-exhibition report. I will leave the meeting and hand over to the Deputy Mayor, and then I'll come back.
Okay, so at this stage, good evening, councillors, members of the gallery. We now move to item 28/24 on the agenda, being the report and recommendations for the adoption of Burwood North Master Plan post-exhibition report. The adoption and progression of the Burwood North Master Plan to the next stage of planning process is a significant milestone for Burwood Council and our community. While slightly out of order, given the complex nature and the length of the report and the details contained within the report, prior to putting up the motion, I would like to ask the staff through the General Manager to give councillors in the gallery a short overview of the key elements to the report.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I might pass over to Director City Strategy or Rita. Sure.
Thank you, General Manager. I'll provide a short overview. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. This report brings together 2 years' worth of work through a series of technical studies, planning, urban design work, and extensive community consultation, which will revitalise and shape the long-term development of the Burwood North area near the metro station. As you'll see in the report and the recommendations, there is still more planning, design work and stakeholder engagement to be undertaken before the plan can be implemented. It also has undertaken a detailed post-exhibition analysis of all the submissions received. The plan emphasises the need for well-designed, active and livable neighbourhoods in close proximity to transport. The report also outlines the alignment with state and local strategies such as the district plan, council's local strategic planning statement, the Parramatta Road Corridor Urban Transformation Strategy, and it also has been updated to reflect the new New South Wales government housing reforms. In brief, during the public exhibition phase between 23rd of October 2023 and the 5th of January 24, council received 55 submissions. The key themes raised in those submissions and the engagement activities undertaken identified predominantly site-specific feedback around amalgamation patterns, heights and FSRs, a request for details around process and timing for the delivery of the controls, transport and parking, and also the delivery of infrastructure. In response, the master plan is seeking tonight adoption on the amended scheme. The amendments encompasses some changes aiming to address the feasibility, enhance the amenity of the local area, and ensure the accuracy and clarity of the detail provided. Some of those changes are land use zoning changes, building heights, floor space ratios, and a significant level of increase of public open space. These changes in general at a high level would result in 10% increase in jobs through increased employment GFA capacity, 30% increase in dwellings from 5,300 to approximately 7,700, and 40% increase in open space for the use of the public. The resolution will enable staff to move forward to the next stage of the master's plan implementation process and commence the preparation of the planning proposal. The planning proposal process would include a number of steps and stages, which would outline further community input through additional stakeholder engagement and council reports, which would build upon the master plan as a baseline. These steps would include preparing the planning proposal and the draft instrument wording, additional strategies and updates in relation to transport, public domain, VPAs, affordable housing contribution scheme, infrastructure works, and a new development control plan, which would support the master plan detail. The matter would then also proceed to the Burwood Local Planning Panel for comment, and then final as a gateway determination where there will be mandatory stakeholder engagement procedures under the legislation. This is a key stage for the master planning process, but is not the end for stakeholder engagement and further consideration of key elements that will require council consideration and endorsement prior to the gazettal of the application of the matter.
That's great. Thank you very much. What I'd like to do is I'd like to propose an amendment to the resolution and the wording of the recommendation. If I get a second, in light of the submissions by residents tonight in this evening and the emails received, councillors received a number of emails from the residents, and to ensure we achieve the best outcomes for our community from a well thought out and developed master plan proposal, I would like to move the recommendation in the council report with an amendment for an additional resolution, point number 12. So we have the 11 recommendations in addition to the following, that as part of the preparation of the planning proposal for the implementation of the Burwood North Precinct Master Plan, the general manager ensures that there is an opportunity for continued landholder engagement prior to the consideration of any requests from landholders. Staff are to develop a governance process to be fair and consistent, to be made available on Participate Burwood website, to ensure that submissions are supported by robust planning design and public benefit consideration. Do I have a seconder? Seconded, Councillor Esler. So is there any speakers to the motion? Councillor Ned Kutcher, yep.
A couple of questions, if I could please, Mr. Deputy, before I speak on the motion. But I guess the first question, we've had, we've heard that there've been a number of submissions made, detailed submissions, particularly from property owners and those with a vested interest in the outcome here. Of the 55 submissions that were made, we're advised that quite a high number of those would fit that description. And I note that there've been some substantial changes to what is now being put to council from the draft as exhibited. So my question is, of those changes, what proportion reflect the submissions that were made by property owners, potential prospective developers, and those with an interest in the outcome directly, and what proportion of changes to the proposal tonight reflect a broader community sentiment or just feedback and input from the community more generally?
Okay, I ask the general manager to report on that.
Maybe sort of broader vision statements that we've put out.
Yes, there's some broader vision statements, but also if you have a look at table 7 of the report, it outlines the specific changes and the number of properties which have been adjusted. I don't have the exact number.
Just give us a ballpark, proportion-wise, percentage-wise, roughly how much of it is sort of developer-led and how much of it is community-led in terms of what amendments have been made to this proposal.
Thank you, Councillor.
Probably be hard to give a percentage.
It's very difficult to provide a detailed response on that. In relation to the 55 submissions received, approximately 33 were made in response to the property owners. The remainder were from general community submissions. All properties.
I was going to, whilst you guys look at my initial response would be, Councillor, that throughout the whole engagement phase, the feedback we got from the broader community was one of endorsement of the general vision principles of creating an activated precinct around transport nodes, of course, and particularly around daytime, nighttime, mixed use, vibrant, walkable, a precinct. And particularly the efforts were also around the creation of additional open space, which the community generally endorsed. So I think in broader terms, I think the amendments that we present tonight fit squarely and rightly on the feedback that we received. In terms of specific numbers, I'm probably not very helpful at this stage.
Yeah, not specific numbers, but there is a detailed submissions report and the changes done, but not every submission resulted in a change, but they do reflect the values statement within the master plan document.
So sorry, just a follow-on question then. There's been no further exhibition of this plan across the community. So basically the feedback that's received from that first exhibition has been collated, amendments have been made, and we're now being asked to endorse this without any further opportunity to engage with the community more broadly as to their view on the changes that have been made. Is that correct?
Go ahead.
Deputy Mayor, the amended master plan does respond to the submissions made. From this point and following the adoption, if council adopts the plan tonight, there'll be a number of stages for further community input. There will be the Burwood Local Planning Panel where people can make submissions to that. Following Gateway, there is a mandatory community engagement process again, following the Gateway for a minimum of 30 days. And then the report following the BLPP and the gate and the stakeholder engagement following Gateway would be reported back to council where community can make representations back to the elected council again.
Thank you for that. I'll have to take that as a no. My final question would be just picking up on one of the comments that was made from the gallery. So I'm noting at page 69 where the recommendations made, we've got recommendation 3 and A makes reference to 3 following further studies that would need to be done prior to this being submitted to the Gateway. One of those mentions an affordable housing contribution scheme. So I just ask if you could give us some information about what steps have been taken what preliminary steps have been taken to develop an affordable housing contribution scheme. And what guarantees do we have if we endorse this plan tonight that this work will be incorporated into any planning proposal that gets put to council at a later stage?
Thank you, Councillor. I'll hand over to the General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. To this point, we've done some feasibility testing in line with the PR cuts of up to 5% within the development. The proposed affordable housing contribution scheme will be reported back to council for consideration, which would be intended for council resolution for implementation as part of a planning proposal before it goes to the department for gazettal. So council, it would come back to council for consideration and determination at a later stage once we've finalised that affordable housing contribution scheme.
Just another question to that. Is there further affordable housing opportunity within the development?
Yes. So currently there is provision under the state housing policy for an additional bonus provision of 30% height and FSR, which would require 15% affordable housing for 15 years.
So just to follow on, sorry, Councillor. So 30% of the whole development or 30%? It's the whole development, right?
Of the whole development.
Of the whole lift, right?
Correct.
15% has to be affordable housing?
Correct.
Okay.
If you enact the state housing provisions.
For 15 years.
For 15 years.
Thank correct. You.
Thank you.
Councillor Hull.
Yes, just a question, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Just following on from Councillor Kutcher's comments about opportunities that have been afforded to the general public to make submissions about the amended master plan as we have it before us tonight. I am under the understanding, and is this correct, that if it is approved tonight, there will follow the steps described there on page 67, where there will be further opportunity for discussion and submissions around the edges, if you like, of the master plan. But once it gets to Gateway, it will be more or less set in stone. But what I want to know is, with this ongoing consultation, the public, will the public be able to make submissions about changes to the amendments? And will council actually give that adequate consideration? And will there be changes entertained? And also, how long will submissions be open for?
Thank you, Councillor. I have the amendment that I've put up. So that pretty much outlines it. Yes, residents can continue to put submissions to council, and council will, as per, so I'll just read it again, right? So that as part of the preparation of the planning proposal for the implementation of Burwood North Precinct Master Plan, the general manager ensures that there is an opportunity for continued landholder engagement. Prior to the consideration of any requests from landholders, staff are to develop a governance process to be fair and consistent, right? To be made available on participant Burwood website page to ensure that submissions are supported by robust planning, design and public benefit consideration. So, yes, absolutely, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Just Councillor, just reiterating, I think it was what the Deputy Mayor just stated. The amendment that Deputy Mayor has proposed sort of highlights what is, we believe, standard practice. So once the master plan is endorsed, if the master plan is endorsed tonight, typically there will be opportunities, further opportunities for landowners as well as residents to lodge further submissions with our teams and our consultants. Obviously, there has to be a practical end to the process at some point. It can't just be back and forth with continuous changes. Hence the, again, standard practice of creating a governance process that will provide guidelines for both our staff and our teams, as well as our stakeholders, to ensure that any further engagement and between parties is guided by the guiding principles and the vision that we have, in particular, planning, sound planning grounds. Of course, we wouldn't be able just to accommodate or entertain submissions to just say more. Yeah. It would have to be obviously grounded on sound planning reasoning, as well as the principles that we've outlined for the last 2 years, including design excellence. The creation of additional open space is critical. And so if the amendment does go through, our staff will committing on creating those guidelines that will be made available to the public and that will guide the conversation going forward.
Sorry, further question. When I said submissions to be open to the public, the wording in the amendment is landholders. I take it that means landholders in the general Burwood LGA and not within the proposed Burwood North precinct.
Be, I think the wording is general enough to be all residents within the LGA.
Yeah, it wouldn't be limited to that particular precinct or one particular street, in any case.
Oh, thank you. And
Deputy, can I just jump in? I'd just like to propose that we amend that. So the first word there is residents rather than landholders, so that it does give that generality. I wonder if you would accept that.
Residents and landholders. Absolutely.
Am I allowed to make a suggestion? Because I'd also pulled that up. Ensure that there is an opportunity for continued engagement with landowners, residents, and interested parties. think it's more encompassing. I just don't want to leave anyone behind.
That's all right. Can you just request from...
Continued engagement with landowners, residents and interested parties.
And interested parties, yeah.
Thank you for your consideration.
Yep, I don't see a problem. That's good. I mean, the whole idea is for us to move forward. This is a great opportunity for Burwood and the future of Burwood. We want to get it right. We want to make sure it's a win-win situation for all that's concerned, for the environment, for the housing, for our community. So I'm prepared to accept those amendments. Any further questions? I'd like to put them...
Sorry, one further question. I'm at the risk of repeating myself. I asked how long the submissions would be open for, and it was the response was, well, we can't keep submissions open forever. Fair enough. Do we have a general time frame? Will it be 3 months? Will it be 2 months? What will it approximately estimate?
No, thank you. Yes. Ryan, generally speaking?
I'd anticipate it 2 months, potentially up to the time that it's reported to the local planning panel, so that any proposed amendments by the residents or the interested parties could be considered by the planning panel before it's reported back to council.
Thank you, councillors. I'd like to...
Before you put in the motion, sorry.
Go ahead, councillor Kutcher.
I just wanted to move another amendment, please, and it goes again to recommendation 3A. We've got the inclusion of three very important studies there. I'd like to propose a fourth, which would be a parks and public places management and maintenance plan. And ask that you would consider that.
Councillor, where is that to go? Exactly?
So that is on page 69 in the recommendations.
Yep.
Recommendation 3A. We've got III, the inclusion of an IV, a parks and public places maintenance and management plan.
So the question is there an opportunity for us to include that?
My first instinct response would probably be that those topics will be covered in the public domain plan and work schedule. And probably it's an all-encompassing plan.
Yeah, I would say that it's the high-level public domain plan would say what would be proposed and what would be constructed, and then the parks and maintenance management plan would come after construction once we know what the final details are and what the maintenance schedule would be.
Thank you, councillor.
I'd like to move that as a motion.
We can't have an amendment. So you want an additional amendment, right?
Yeah, I'd like to move that as an amendment to the motion, please.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. No. I'm quite satisfied of what the council staff have said. So, sorry, Councillor Kutcher, I'd leave that one out for now and just vote on the amendment that we've just put up. Thank you. Do you have a seconder? Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I take the point that's been raised in response to the question, but I just don't think that's satisfactory. And I know that there's been lots of discussion through our briefings and throughout the development of this master plan in relation to the provision of parks, public places, open spaces, and the importance of those things for our community. I reminded council at our last meeting that the provision of parks and open spaces, public places, is the number one priority for our community and our community strategic plan. What the master plan does is it leaves the provision of parks and green spaces and public places to development, to the developers that are providing and that are developing the precinct in an ad hoc kind of a way. And it presents an opportunity for, or it presents a challenge to our community, I guess, for a range of parks and public places to be owned and operated by different people in different ways. So the conclusion of an overarching policy that sets out what council's expectations will be of those people who own and operate parks and public places and produce those parks and public spaces is an important consideration. I take on board that we do have a public domain plan and work schedule in there, but I do think it's important that we capture that detail, that we also need to have an overarching policy to ensure that we don't have a hodgepodge of different approaches to management and maintenance of parks and public places.
Further speakers?
I agree with what was said as a seconder, and I commend the amendment. But just while I have the microphone, Mr. Deputy Mayor, I also want to move an amendment.
We've got to deal with this one first. So look, I respect and understand what you're saying, Councillor Kutcher, but I have to agree with council officers that they will incorporate that in their plan and work through it. So I will not be supporting your amendment. Thank you. So I'd like to put that amendment to that vote. So who's for the amended? Councillor Kutcher. So it'd be Councillor Kutcher and Councillor Toll. Who's against the amendment? So Councillor Manor, Councillor Heather Crichton and Councillor Esper. So that amendment is lost. Now we go to your amendment, Councillor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Yeah. I'd like to add a further clause. It would be clause 13, I presume, as there is now a new clause 12. So it would be clause 13. You recall the last time this matter came up before council and we considered a formal motion on it, I also moved an amendment to a previous motion that council proactively consult and obtain detailed information about infrastructure delivery in respect of this master plan, which is going to add 20,000 plus people to the Burwood LGA, a lot more in reality, in my opinion. That information is not before us tonight and should be before us tonight. In my opinion, we shouldn't be proceeding with this proposed master plan tonight unless we have this information. Nonetheless, I would want, I understand, you know, the process. I understand that the state authorities have not been forthcoming, apparently, with this information. However, we need it. It would be irresponsible for us to go to the residents and attempt to promote this plan to them without being able to confidently assure residents that there is going to be adequate hospitals, adequate provision for schools, adequate provision for emergency services, adequate provisions for, you know, electricity, water services, in order to provide services and infrastructure for the dramatically increased population that this master plan will bring in its wake.
Councillor. So what is the motion?
So the motion is that council A, proactively consult with and extract detailed information from the New South Wales State Government in respect to the provision of infrastructure services to Burwood LGA from the present to the projected completion of the Burwood North Master Plan, including but not limited to hospitals, subclause II police, subclause III ambulance, subclause IV schools, primary and secondary, subclause V, the capacity of the Burwood Metro and heavy rail, and B, make this information available to councillors, and C, publicly exhibit this information in accordance with community engagement strategy for the master plan, Burwood North master plan.
Thank you, councillor. Do I have a seconder, please?
I will second that one, although I do feel that we've already debated it somewhat.
Yeah, that's so. Right. Yeah. That's right. So, okay, you've got a seconder. So, look, any further speakers? I'd like to speak. Any speakers? The amended second one. Okay, we have debated it and it's been put to us before. So I won't be supporting that motion, amended motion. So I'll put the motion, the amended motion, those four, the amended motion.
The amended motion or the amendment to
the amendment of Councillor Hall. So we've got to deal with that one first. So who's for it? Okay, Councillor Hall and Councillor Kutcher. Who's against it? Councillor Manor, Councillor Espar and Councillor Croydon. Thank you. So amendment lost. Okay. Okay, now I'll put the amended motion that I've read out. Those for the recommendations with the amendment number 12 added to it. Show of hands for those for it. Those against it.
I did want to make just a couple of remarks in terms of, you know, the overall motion before it was put. If that's possible.
No, look, it's fine. We'll go back to it. Councillor Kutcher, that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Look, I guess I just wanted to make sure, you know, my position on the motion this evening, I want to make sure it's understood that it's qualified. You know, I think there's a significant amount of work that's gone into this, and we've come up with, well, council staff and the consultants that they've worked with have come up with, I think, a very good piece of work. It's something that, in terms of the urban design principles, the you know, what's now widely understood as transport oriented development principles, you know, the provision of public open space, the provision of you know, walkable streets and cycleways and those sorts of things. There's lots of really great stuff in here, and it is something that our community has been waiting on for a very, very, very long time. And I think it's something that, you know, we should all be ready to bite the bullet and pass the motion and get on with it. But I do have some concerns about the way, you know, that we're doing this. And I want it just noted on the record, there have been substantial changes that have been made from the exhibited plan. I do think the community should get the opportunity to have some further input into the development of that plan, given that basically we've seen an increase in heights, we've seen an increase in floor space ratios, and we don't have, you know, we don't have a consensus view across our community about where we've landed in terms of, you know, the heights and FSRs at the edge of the precinct. So on that, you know, I think that it's just important to capture that. It's something that not everybody's going to be happy with. But we don't want any further delays. And there are some really important and impressive things in here. Really important that we get the affordable housing piece right. It's really important that we get the parks and public places piece right. And I just wanted to make sure that that was on the record before I vote in favour of this motion.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Corbyn, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor. This has been a big body of work in this term of council, and it's been a long and considered process over many, many months to arrive here tonight at the officer's recommendation. I need to note that New South Wales is facing a very real and deepening housing crisis, with rental and housing affordability at their lowest levels in decades. The housing crisis has been developing for many, many years, and it's come about partly in terms of the speed of our planning system and this low number of building approvals and also a shortage of skilled workers. The New South Wales government is focusing on higher density living by building up, not out, and it now requires an urgent and whole of government approach to get supply moving. Bold North Precinct does provide us with an opportunity for much needed renewal, for new amenity, for new housing stock, and for much needed local employment. These are tremendous benefits that can't be downplayed for our community, and I welcome them. The master plan will boost much needed housing supply around our new transport hub of the Burwood North Metro arriving in 2030. And we need to ensure that we fully maximise this major new public transport asset for Burwood. I'd like to just note the speaker tonight from Shelter, New South Wales. I welcome his input to the debate tonight. I agree, we do need an affordable housing scheme. It's a really important element. I want everyone to have a seat at the table here in Burwood. And it's a really big consideration that we do need to do more work on. And it's an urgent consideration that needs a whole lot of thought by all of us here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Crichton. Any further speakers before I put the motion?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Yes, look, I do acknowledge that there has been a lot of work going into this, and certainly council officers have put in a lot of work to this and have done a fairly good job. My reservations stand, though, in terms of the infrastructure details. That is necessary information, as I've pointed out already. There are some good features of this master plan. There are, you know, green space pockets, for example, scattered, I suppose, throughout the plan. But I do note that a number of concerns from residents have not been adequately dealt with around green spaces, tree canopy. There are also concerns which arise from the infrastructure issue, such as overcrowdedness. That is a concern that has been raised with me, and that has been also raised in submissions to this proposal. There's also been concerns around traffic congestion and how that is going to be dealt with under this plan. It's all very well to pedestrianise roads and the like, but we do need to give further consideration, I believe, to where is the traffic going to go. Is it adequate to further cause congestion to surrounding roads that are already very heavily congested, such as Shaftesbury Road, Wentworth Road, or are we going to, you know, devise some solution to that? I don't believe there is one at this stage in the master plan. And there have also been concerns raised about heritage, which have not been addressed in this master plan. Burwood District Historical Society made a submission, and I think the response by council was a bit dismissive to that. There are heritage there are heritage issues which arise, which need to be addressed. On the whole, I'm not really convinced that we are ready to go ahead at this point without this further infrastructure information. But this is going to have a huge impact on people's lives, the way they live, the way they work, and even something pressures on Burwood Park, where people want to take their children on a weekend to play cricket in a green park. I mean, where are they going to do that? There's already overcrowding in Burwood Park. There is a call for more parks, I believe. But I'll end it there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hall. Look, you know, the issue of infrastructure, we debated at length and we resolved that the council will continue to consult with the relevant government authorities before just going ahead and doing willy-nilly and not being considerate of all that infrastructure. So I'd like to put the motion, those for the motion with the amended, hands up, please. So Councillor Kutcher, Councillor Esper, Councillor Crichton and Councillor Menner, those against the amended motion and recommendation, Councillor Hull. Thank you. Look, I declare it carried. I would like just to say before moving to the next item that the adoption and progression of the Burwood North Master Plan to the next stage of planning process is a significant milestone to Burwood Council and our community. I would like to thank the council staff and the community that have come forward and been involved in this hard work, and to all those who have participated in the preparation and consultation process associated with the master plan preparation. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much, audience, for all your participation tonight.
Okay, councillors, we might continue with the meeting if we can. I'll ask those members of the gallery that are still there just to continue to get your papers, but please just be mindful that we're still in meeting and to keep your noise levels down. Our next item is 29/24, integrated planning and reporting documents. Been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Manor. Can I put an amendment? I'm going to ask an amendment. I've been working with staff through budgets and we've worked out. So I'm just going to ask residents to keep it down, please. I'm going to add the amendment, which will be that the general manager to identify and report back to council at the June meeting the appropriate funding source to offset the increase to the council pensioner rebate by a one-off additional $55, taking the rebate from $125 to $180 for the 24-25 residential rate notice to help ease the cost of living pressures. And this is a measure which, if we look at the budget, will have a $82,000 rebate that will go back to the community. Are you happy to accept that? Speakers? For, against? Put the motion, all those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimously. Next item 25/24, which is the community grants program. Moved by Councillor Manor again. Councillor Crichton, did you nod your head? No? Seconded that by Councillor Crichton. Speakers, for, against, put the motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Budget review quarter 26/24, move Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers, for, against, put the motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried. 27/24, investment report, moved by Councillor Manor, Espar, seconded by Councillor Espar. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Notice of motion 3/24, naturalisation and revitalisation of Cook Trua. Notice of motion by Councillor Kutcher. Do I have a seconder? It's been seconded by Councillor Manor. Councillor?
I guess I'm moving that council acknowledges that creeks, canals and other small waterways are the lifeblood of our local environment, nourishing ecosystems and providing habitat for native plants. Do I have to read it or can I take it as read?
It is read.
Take
if
it
you
read.
Wish to speak.
Yeah, look, I mean, I just was approached by the Cooks River Valley Association. They've obviously been doing some really important work in the area. They've put a proposal to government. It aligns roughly with some of the work that we've been briefed on by Sydney Water a little while ago. I think the Cooks River Valley Association's proposal is slightly more slightly broader in scope. They've asked for support, not so much an endorsement of their plan, but just a request that we, the council writes to the Environment Minister, the Water Minister, the Treasurer, and a couple of the local members with electorates that border onto the river, requesting their consideration and support for the proposal. So I wanted to put that motion to council. I think that's a reasonable enough request. And a simple enough thing for us to do to support the great work that the Cooks River Valley Association are doing, and I really commend them for the tireless work that they do. I know that they're a voluntary organisation made up of people who are very passionate and do great work looking after the riverbanks in particular. And so I just commend the motion.
Councillor, thanks, Councillor. Councillor Manor?
No, I concur with Councillor Kutcher's comments and will support his motion.
Thanks, Councillor. Yeah, just a quick question before I forward on to speakers. Just to the General Manager, through you, can we get an update? Because I remember we had a presentation from Sydney Water. Read this.
What's the latest?
What's the latest, yes.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we haven't had them come back. They obviously went away to get source funding from the government, and they haven't come back yet, but they have advised us they will let us know as soon as they've secured that funding.
Okay. Any other speakers? Councillor Crine?
Just briefly, it's so nice to actually be talking about the natural environment here at Council. We spend a lot of time talking about the built environment. Very happy to support the notice of motion. And also in preparing for tonight, I had a look at the Herald. And a year ago, they were talking about the Cooks River and how Sydney's most toxic river is fighting back. So if this goes some little way, it can be built Council's contribution to assisting the fight back, I'm all for it. And congratulations. Thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor, you're right to reply. Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimous. Councillor, your next notice of motion, which is the development controls put downward pressure on, which is NM4/24. So it's been moved by yourself. Do I have a seconder? I just need to put your microphone on.
Spirit of debate, I'd like to second the motion.
Okay, so seconding for the spirit of debate. Councillor?
Thank you so much, Councillor Manor. I really appreciate that. Look, and I mean, I'll take this one as read as well, but this is there's, you know, work that a bunch of people are doing across Sydney and, in fact, across the country. Councils are leading this work phasing out gas connections in new residential and commercial developments. And, you know, they found that there's a number of great benefits to going all electric, particularly where we can go all renewable electricity. But it also has great health benefits, particularly people with respiratory concerns, not having gas heating or gas cooking in the home. Does improve people's health outcomes. But primarily in a cost of living crisis, it also reduces people's bills. And the work that 350 Australia has done to show how much people can save over a year if they do make the change from gas appliances to electrical appliances is pretty significant. So I thought that was something that was worth bringing to council. There are a number of councils across Sydney that have already that are progressing this work. Lane Cove Council in particular is seen as sort of the most ambitious and the one that I thought we should try and emulate. There are a number of other councils that are also doing this work. I note the report back from council officers seems to suggest that this would be against what our sort of agreed strategic direction would be. I don't see that's the case. I note that the focus there has been on the sustainability aspect of it. I think we have agreed to do things like exploring opportunities for community-based renewable energy projects. This allows us to do that if we're using renewable energy. Switching to electric. I see this as consistent with where we're going with our sustainable Burwood plan, even if it's not specifically mentioned in the detail. But look, I'll leave it at that. I think that there are really important reasons for us to explore these things and ask that the General Manager, provide us with a report back outlining what's possible. I think that that's the least we can do. Thank you.
Councillor Manor.
Look, the thing for me, I don't know enough about gas. I mean, you're talking about the immediate, so for this report, for all the new developments, so I'm not sure about the implications on, whether that is possible or doable. I know that, in my experience over the years, for a long time, our gas bill has been very, very minimal when we use gas, right? But I understand and respect that, the environment is very important and we've got to find ways and solutions to the problem of, making things worse for the environment. So, I just need to know a little bit more information before I could be satisfied, really. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors? Councillor Hull?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, reluctantly, I do have to speak against this motion because I know that there has been a movement of late to demonise gas as an energy source and to try and remove it from consumers' choice of energy sources that they wish to adopt in their home. My understanding is that gas is a very safe energy source when it's properly installed in households. It is a very viable energy source. There are a number of studies there that have been quoted in the motion, which I understand are contested. It also talks about chefs moving away from gas cooktops. I don't know that there's a lot of evidence for that either, actually. My understanding is that professional chefs greatly and predominantly prefer commercial cooktop appliances in their commercial kitchens, but it's also very viable for normal consumers and residents. And I guess the other reason is that I don't agree with the motion is that it's taking away choice from residents as to potentially as to installing gas and having gas as a viable energy source in their homes when they would want that, which, as Councillor Manner has rightfully pointed out, it is very cost-effective as an energy source. It is very safe. I have had it in my own home, actually, in prior years, and it is a perfectly safe and viable energy source. So I wouldn't want to see gas being taken away as an option for residents, particularly in newly built homes. I know there's a movement in Victoria to do that, to take away that choice, but please let's not do it here. Let's maintain that choice for residents and consumers to have gas as an alternative, cost-effective, cost-saving source of energy, which poses no health risks.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other speakers? Councillor Crine.
Just quickly, I thank Councillor Kutcher for his notice of motion. It's made me think more broadly and it makes me also realise how little I know about the issue. I would really value some more education around this issue if this is the way that we're moving and we need to make progressive steps towards electricity, renewables. Let's get on board. But I can't vote for it tonight. But I'm also wondering with you, Mr. Mayor, is SS Rock looking at this issue?
I'll speak. Have you finished? I won't support. I support the sentiment that we're trying to move, councillor. So I support that. I don't think we're there at this stage only because I've just still got a few concerns around one, which is the motion calls for a DCP to require all new developments, residential, non-residential across the LGA to be electric. So it's to implement it in August or bring back a DCP, which I think that's too quick without knowing as much detail as I can about it. The other one is, I noticed that there was some reporting back, I think it was about 12 months ago, the state government had done some reporting and ruled out introducing it in New South Wales as a whole. The other issue for me is, I agree with some of the previous speakers with regards to people being able to have choice. And I think if you're pulling out one of the supplies from that choice, it could lead to increased power prices. I'm not sure. I've got to see the science behind that. However, I can see that the idea is to, in a perfect world, have everyone on solar and then obviously using electric appliances, which gives you the renewable energy through solar and wind farms. I don't think everyone's on solar yet, or on wind energy. We're moving towards that through the ROC. So 100% of our energy supply now for council is through renewable energy. I think now we continue with the education process of working with residents and households to move towards that type of energy source. The other thing I have, and I heard something funny enough this morning on radio, is they were talking about the community batteries and introduction of community batteries in some areas, and they're having some issues with enough energy supply to that area. Just like there's questions that are raised with regards to if we're cutting out gas, puts more, if you don't have solar, you're then using more energy, does that put more pressure on the grid, and what does it mean for energy supply? So they're my concerns. I like the idea, though. I think that's where we've got to go. So I commend you for putting that up and talking about it and bringing it to the forelight. And I think it's something we need to start thinking about through our sustainable energy policy here at council. But how do we work through some of these issues to get to that? Councillor, you're right. Any other speakers? No, you're right. A reply.
Look, I'm. You know, I won't pretend I'm not disappointed, councillors. But look, I thank you for the opportunity to you know, debate this motion this evening. And yeah, I accept that it's a big change and one that you know, people want to get their heads around. I look forward to opportunities to discuss these sorts of things further. And on that note, I look forward to seeing everyone down at the Smart Energy Expo on the weekend. And Mr. Mayor, I understand you'll be opening that. So that is this weekend, as far as I can see. So, yeah, onwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kutcher. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare the motion lost. And I declare the meeting closed at 7:32 p.m. as there's no further business. And I believe there is dinner to be served for those that wish to have dinner.